Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us into another Ramadan. May Allah make this Ramadan Mubarak for us and allow us to do what pleases Him the most and accept our ibadat, our fasting, our recitation of the Quran, our zakat, our sadaqah, our taraweeh, and everything else that we do for Him. Inshallah. Ramadan is a month that the Quran says the Quran is revealed in it as a means of hidayah and guidance. And also it's the month in which we all fast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the Hadith al-Qudsi, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrates from Allah that Allah says the following: As-sawmu li, that fasting is for me, that anyone who is going to stay away from food and drink and marital relationships, they're going to do it for me because there's no one there to police him. In fasting, the one who is fasting, the sa'im, he's policing himself. There's no government there, there's no authority there, there's no parents there, there's no teacher there, there's no sheikh there, there's no neighbor there, there's no community there to overlook and supervise whether or not you're fasting. Only you can do that. So this is the height of Iman, where Iman becomes the policeman. For whom? For the believer. So the believer, when he is in a state of fasting, he's fasting only for Allah. So Allah is there, bil ghaib, the unseen, where you can't see him. But the believer knows that Allah is watching. And the believer knows that Allah is there. And the believer will refrain with his own volition. Not something that's superimposed from the outside. There's nothing external. It's all his conscious, his subconscious, his dhamir, him. He says, I will not eat or drink, even though he may get tired, even though he may get hungry, even though he may get thirsty. But nothing will force him to eat. To the point where before iftar, mashallah, alhamdulillah, and Muslims are blessed with the best food at iftar, subhanallah. Kind of paradoxical and ironic that the best food we have is in the month when we don't eat and drink. That's Allah's fadl, as the Prophet said, shahrun yuzadu fihi rizqul mu'min, is a month in which the rizq of a believer is increased. Meaning from the taqween, cosmologically, it's not planned that way, it just increases, as we all know, alhamdulillah. So even if there are 3 minutes left for the time of Maghrib to come in, a person who's fasting will not dare take a piece of date and eat it if the time isn't there. Why is this? Who's forcing him to do this? Who is giving him this self-restraint? Who is giving him this discipline? Otherwise known as tark, leaving. It is Allah. Allah from the ghaib, from the unseen world, where we don't see him, but we believe in him. There's a yu'minuna bil ghaib, those who believe in the ghaib, comes into action when we are fasting in the month of Ramadan. This, my dear brothers and sisters, is an expression of taqwa, God consciousness, awareness, God fearing, that there's nothing in the world stopping us from devouring the food in front of us. Nothing. Yeah, okay, you might get a few comments from the wife or the children, but that's about it. No one's put a gun to your head and said, don't you dare It's only iman. So iman becomes alive in Ramadan because of fasting. Fasting is that ritual, and the Ramadan month is the month in which we see Allah in action. And it's in your face. For those who believe Allah doesn't happen, there's no Allah. Allah is. He's right there when you're fasting. That's why the Prophet ﷺ gave Bashara. لِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ. That for the first person who's fasting, there are two times that are very precious. Two times. We know one of them. فَرْحَةٌ عِنْدَ فِطْرِهِ. There's a pleasure and a joy at the time of iftar, the Prophet ﷺ said. It's an occasion for happiness. And every one of us, we know how we feel when we break that fast. We're in a state of bliss. You can't bottle that bliss and sell it. It's something special that only the one who's fasting experiences as a ni'mah from Allah. It's an added ni'mah. You know, these values that we have in Islam, they're super, super human. They're built on ihsan, the fadl of Allah. They're not materialistic and they're not secular. But ask the person, especially the young child, who's fasted the whole day, how the child feels when they break the fast. They will say, this is bliss. This is supreme. There's nothing like it in the world. So this is the Prophet ﷺ realizing through Nabuwa, through the words of prophethood, that there's a farha, there's a joy, there's a pleasure that we should relish and we should definitely enjoy, because it only happens here in this month. The second pleasure, the Prophet said, is farhatun inda liqa'i rabbihi, is the pleasure when he meets his Lord. Subhanallah. So wait for that pleasure. That when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be in a state of bliss, happy to see our Lord, our Maker. But that only happens after you've restrained yourself. You've gone through the process of taqwa. So taqwa leads to pleasure when we meet Allah. Which again is a value. It's a civilizational value. It's a value that is not secular. You cannot measure Islam against secular standards. It's a myth. It's a disservice to Islam. Or somehow we have to make it palatable sometimes, yeah, so that a non-Muslim understands the logic of Islam. No, experience Islam. Eat the fruit of Islam as you eat the fruit of fasting in Ramadan through your taqwa. That's called experience. That's called living Islam. Not discussing Islam. Live it. You'll enjoy it. But when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, but we have to prepare for that moment. As we prepare for iftar, alhamdulillah, we don't. Our dear sisters and mothers, our daughters, they do all that hard work for us. We just sit there. Like greedy people. We have no concern for the effort they bring in for our fast. Whatever they do for us is sadaqah for them. They are rewarded for preparing the food they feed us. That is the ni'mah, the beauty of Islam, that when a woman cooks for the husband, she is rewarded. It's not in vain. It is a sadaqah that she's given to the husband and to the family. Appreciated. And don't dance around her complaining. This is not this way, this is not this way. Appreciate the effort. Appreciate the sadaqah. Appreciate the favor. This is called ihsan. This is taqwa. But anyway, what I'm saying is that we have to prepare for this moment of happiness and joy and farha. The bliss that when we meet Allah, subhanAllah, the first time we're going to meet Allah, subhanAllah. Can I prepare for this mentally, intellectually, spiritually? What am I going to do? How will I behave when I meet my Lord the first time? SubhanAllah. It's an amazing feeling. If you're into it. If you're not into it, then obviously, God help you. You prepare for it. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man ahabba liqa'a Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu." Whoever loves the idea of meeting Allah, Allah reciprocates. Allah is not somewhere on a pedestal where He does not engage and interact with His creation. He engages and He interacts all the time with His creation. Except creation is always in a state of ghafla, heedlessness. They don't know, they don't see, they don't observe, they don't feel, they don't live, they don't experience. But if you experience it, and you start thinking that what will I do? How will I behave the first time I meet Allah? So the Prophet said, whoever loves the idea of meeting Allah, Allah reciprocates, and he in turn loves the idea of meeting him. See how the Prophet ﷺ trained the Sahaba to think? This is called tazkiyah, this is called tarbiyah, this is called a prophet leading his people towards Allah's rahmah, towards Jannah. Like you're expecting, anticipating a wonderful guest that's coming to your house after many years. You haven't heard from him, you haven't seen him, you don't even remember what or who he looks like. But you're going to prepare for that moment. And you're going to enjoy that moment. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever loves the idea, he's mentally prepared. It is spiritually prepared, intellectually prepared. He's conceptualizing the idea. Sit down and think about it. It's not a hadith that you just skip over. Oh, yeah, we understand. No, you don't understand. Sit down for 5 minutes and think about this reality, that what will you do? How will you behave when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the first time on the Day of Judgment? How will you act? How will you react? Sit down and think about it. It is called muraqabah. Think about it. These are not vain words of a prophet. We don't use hadith as vain words. They are spiritually uplifting. And this is how the Sahaba saw his words, Mubarak. That they internalized his words. They lived his words. They personified his words. Because he's a Rasul. He's not just a lawgiver. He's a Rasul. He connects you to Allah. So when you sit and think, do I really love the idea of meeting Allah? Do I? If I do, then where's the proof? If I do, then what am I doing to meet Allah? When Allah wants to meet you, He wants to see something in you that shows Him that you want to meet Him. And what is that? That is ibadah. That is servitude. That is humbleness. That is dua. That is observing what He wants you to do in this life. That's how you love meeting Allah. You can't just say, sit there, have a nasheed or qasida, or have some milad and say, I love the idea of meeting Allah, and then next day you're out on the streets doing whatever heck you want. That's not conceptualizing the idea of loving to meet Allah. He is our maker, He is our creator, He is our razaq, He is everything. How do I want to be when I meet Allah? This is the spirit of Ramadan. This is called taqwa. This is what fasting induces. This is what fasting produces in a believer who believes in the ghaib, the unseen. No other civilization, no other authority can do this for the individual Muslim. At the individual level, communal level, that's a different story. We won't even go there today. But at an individual level, this is what Sawm fasting does for the one individual who's fasting, that it generates taqwa to the level and degree that is mind-boggling, unheard of. That someone who is now bil ghaib, the unseen, is having this much influence and power and authority, and more than that, love. That out of pure love for Allah, I'm not going to break my fast. That's it. If anyone tempts you to break your fast, you'll say no. Non-Muslims may be at work asking, you don't drink the whole day? Can I give you a cup of water? The idea won't occur in your mind, maybe I should be tempted to drink the cup of water. It's only a cup of water, man. You as a Muslim, no. We're not going there. That's taqwa. Lived, realized, personified. This is how we should see the beauty, the grace, the fadl of Islam. Islam is a grace. Islam is fadl. Islam is beauty. But is this way? Through ibadat, through conceding that Allah is here, Allah is right here, and I'm going to prove it by not eating, by not doing anything I should not be doing. That is not la'allakum tattaqoon. The Quran says that fasting has been prescribed as it was prescribed to those before you, so that you may gain taqwa. This is taqwa in action. There's nothing hidden. It's not on a bookshelf somewhere. It's not in a book. It's not in a lecture. It's not in a seminar. It's not somewhere where you write about it and you talk about it. It is lived. It is experienced. Where the human being experiences his love for Allah and Allah's love for him. Because when Allah gives you tawfiq not to break fast, He is showing His love for you. You maintain your Islam. You maintain your taqwa. If God forbid, la hawla wa quwwata illa billah, Allah save us all, protect us all. If someone does break his fast, that is a major sin. If you break your fast intentionally in Ramadan, it's a major, major sin. The only way you can expiate it, that if you make up the fast and you fast 60 days, 60 more days of fast, that's the punishment, the kafara, the expiation. Meaning that breaking the fast intentionally in Ramadan is a major, major sin. Muslims don't go there. Why? Because Allah's fadl, Allah's love for the Muslim, especially when he's fasting, Allah says, fasting is for me, so I take care of the person who's fasting for me. He is now the Rabb in action. He is the Lord. He is the guide. He is the Hadi. So all of these abstract values that are in the ghaib, in the unseen world, they come into appearance. They come into the shahada. And you witness these every day. There's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet observing the beauty of fasting. The one who's fasting, he has two times when he is especially happy. One is the time of his iftar, and the other is the time when he meets his Lord. Meaning fasting and meeting Allah, they go together. There's a correlation between fasting, breaking the fast, and meeting Allah. Is almost synonymous. They're almost the same thing. But for us to do that, we have to prepare for that moment and psych ourselves up for that moment when we're meeting Allah. And that is the key to taqwa. Consciousness. Being aware of who it is you are worshipping and who it is you are pleasing and so on. So bring this into the fast every day, at the time of iftar especially. Observe Allah's fadl. See that Allah is now going to give you permission to eat. When you eat, when Allah gives you permission, that is Islam. That's the meaning of Islam. Islam in action. You don't eat pork because Allah doesn't want you to. That is Islam. That is Iman bil Ghaib coming to your reality. Likewise, when you eat, when Allah says, now you may eat, then that is Islam. Islam in action. So Islam is still very much alive in the minds and hearts of those who fast in Ramadan or outside Ramadan. This is the proof of hidayah. This is the proof of guidance. This is evidences of proof, as the Quran says, bayyinatin min al-huda. Evidences of proof. So you mustn't go around saying Islam is dead. You mustn't go around saying Muslims are useless. You mustn't go around saying that there's no hope for Muslims. Look at Ramadan. You'll see Allah's fadl in action. You'll see Allah's rahmah in action. You'll see the tawfiq of Allah in action. So rejoice and be happy that Allah give us more, increases more in hidayah and taqwa and the nur and ibadat and everything else. So you mustn't become pessimistic just because you don't see what's happening. Allah creates the tawfiq. Allah gives the tawfiq. It's not up to us to go out and unify the ummah through other means that are not based on Islam. Those, unfortunately, have failed. 100 years of absolute failure, the past 100 years since we lost the Khilafah, shows us that human intervention into the plan of Allah simply does not work. It is only Allah who brings Muslims to the table. Only Allah that unites Muslims in Ramadan, in their Taraweeh, in their Suhoor, in their Iftar. This Allah is doing. If you believe in Allah, then you must rejoice. Happy. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Allah's fadl. Then build on it. Move further with it, not away from it. And then have hope. You cannot lose hope in Allah. More than that, you cannot lose hope in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the ummah is not yours. You don't own the ummah. It's the Rasul who owns the ummah. And his concern is very much alive in the month of Ramadan. His concern is very much alive every time we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, let's give it a break. Let's look for hope. Let's look for our dreams being fulfilled in this world and the other world also, inshallah. So we can't lose hope. Ramadan gives us hope for the ummah. And we should celebrate it instead of condemning Muslims. Yes, Muslims get together, subhanAllah, for the tawfiq of Allah. Allah brings tawfiq into the minds and hearts of Allah because they're practicing Islam. That's the key. If we practice Islam, we'll be unified. May Allah help us all and give us tawfiq. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.